Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Sam's number 3 downtown at 15th and Curtis, it's the Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Happy Monday. Hope you got a great week planned after a relaxing weekend. We are out on the road. 2 days in a row. We were out on Friday.
Right.
We're again here today.
Right.
Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club. Sam's number 3, our home for all our Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Clubs. This one downtown, 15th and Curtis. So we invite you to come on by. We'll feed you. We got free breakfast burritos. And or you can order off their extensive menu. We got Carlos is set up here. He's got all of the free fan swag to give away. So help yourself to that. So, yeah, just come on by and hang out with us as you kick off your Monday morning.
Yeah, we always have a lot of people that show up. So it's always fun to have you guys out here. So swing on down. Sam's number 3 downtown. Love to meet you during the breaks and, break bread, as they say.
Yes.
Sam's.
Let's do that. It was a busy Friday as we had a bunch of new Broncos that we got a chance to hear from for the first time, including Joe Flacco, who talked about motivation, talked about chips on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I think the foundation of motivating somebody is just love of the game, wanting to be the best at what you do, no matter what that is. And year to year, yeah, there's things that motivate you. I mean, listen, when I was coming out of college and I had to transfer, and you know, I was a small school quarterback. Like, obviously, that probably went into a little bit of the motivation. Being in Baltimore for as long as I was and not being there anymore and how it ended, obviously there's probably going to be a portion of that that motivates me. But I just, if I was relying on things like that to motivate me, that'd probably last for 1 week and then I'd shut off. You know, my motivation really comes from wanting to be the best and just really loving the game, loving coming in this building and going out into that practice field and being with the guys.
So do you understand chips on one shoulder?
Sure.
It happened to you when you were basically told by Washington that they didn't want you anymore, and you carried that chip with you. You still feel
absolutely
bitter taste in your mouth when you think back about it. So is this a guy? Remember now, I think right after the move was made, who was it? We had Dan Orlovsky on, and he questioned whether or not Joe Flacco at this stage of his career, he's won a Super Bowl, made a ton of money, if
right.
He is still hungry to play football. After listening to that, are you concerned at all whether or not he still has a passion for football?
No, I mean, but I was never concerned in the first place. I mean, I think the thing, and Joe's 100% right. You know, it's not that every day you walk in and you say, man, so-and-so slighted me, and that pisses me off, and now I'm going to go to work. Like, you have got to be internally motivated. You have got to have that fire inside of you to be great, you know, to continue to grind and to work hard and to do all those things that you have to do to be great. So that becomes an internal thing. There are external factors that motivate you. There are things that keep you driven. There are things that set you off. You know, there are things that you see as you prepare during the week or during the course of, you know, of a season that are just reminders to not let up. And so it's just like, do you think Brady every day thinks about the fact that he was a sixth rounder, 199? No. But does it still drive him? Absolutely. So there are little things along the way that you grab onto, that you glom onto, that you take with you, that are constant reminders that people have basically said, you aren't good enough. And those things are the overarching kind of part of the motivation, you know, that continue to drive you to be your best. But like Joe said, the bottom line is you have a love of the game and you wanna be the best that you can be is the essential thing that drives you.
I would think that this is, and I'm just looking at it strictly from Flacco's standpoint, not the Broncos standpoint, strictly Flacco. This is exactly what he needs at this stage of his career. That he probably needs a change of scenery. He needs to be in a different environment because not only did it not end well with him in Baltimore, bench right. for Lamar Jackson, but he'd been there for so long, and I just get the sense that, you know, for him and Baltimore, for Baltimore and their reaction and their relationship with him, it had just gotten a little bit stale. And I think that he will really benefit from just being in a new environment, new building, new city, new fans, everything.
New way of doing things, new culture, being part of the guy, being part of the group that's brought in here to manipulate or to change that culture or to reestablish that culture, Mike. That's exhilarating yeah. as a player. I know it essentially kind of helped save my career, leaving Washington and coming here and getting to be, you know, in your seventh year and getting to be one of the guys that helps develop that, you know, and takes that forward. That to me, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys that would tell you that have had that opportunity. I think Big Al, it regenerated, rejuvenated, energized. That's what I was trying to get to.
Gotcha.
But juvenate came with energize, and it became juvenize. That's a new word. A lot of you aren't ready for it. He was rejuvenized. See? That is
just
yeah, man. I think he was
spitting knowledge and creating new words.
I think he was rejuvenized as well as I was rejuvenized. That's a good word.
A
really good word.
I think that one's gonna stick.
So there's a lot of guys that change teams and feel that rejuvenation.
There you go. Coming up.
I'm on this morning.
Coming up, we'll tell you exactly why Joe Flacco is the perfect quarterback for what John Elway wants right now. That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club live from Sam's Number 3 downtown, 15th and Curtis. Come on by. We'll get you fed with a breakfast burrito or order off their extensive menu. As already, Mark is in full show pony mode, as one texture on our RamosLive.com text line pointed out, 303-713-1043 from John. Just jumped on the radio and was about to text to see if Stink was in show pony mode yet, but the rejuvenized segment cleared
yes.
that up.
Yeah, well, you know what? It happens. It just comes to me. A lot of people call that genius.
Yes, genius, yeah. Yes. That's exactly the word that came to mind.
Right.
For me, was yeah. genius. As far as Joe Flacco, the motivated Joe Flacco, as one texter pointed out, didn't Case have a big chip on his shoulder? You guys said all the same things last year.
I learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
So, does the texture have a point, or how is it different with Flacco?
Well, it's different because Flacco has actually been a franchise quarterback. You know, I mean, Case Keenum never has been a franchise quarterback yet. You guys, Mike was the one that was basically talking everybody off the bandwagon when Case Keenum was signed here, saying, hey, man, my red flag is that the Minnesota Vikings haven't even offered him a deal. He had his best season ever, led them to an NFC championship, had a miracle play, you know, I mean, had a miracle play to get through the divisional championship. And, like, that is the outlier. Like, I'm concerned with that. And, you know, my big thing with Case was like, hey, listen, I think Case can be very good. I think he can be a very good quarterback. And I still think he can, surrounded by the right people. You know, that's a roster issue. And it's the same way I feel about Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco is better than Case Keenum. I think he's proven that over his 11-year career. His 11-year career as a starter. But there is no question that he needs to be supported. You know, I mean, if you don't support the guy with, you know, better players around him and a better offensive line and yada, 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 you know, it's not like all of a sudden he's going to be the, like, as currently constructed, he's not rolling in here and hanging 4,000 yards on you and 30 TDs versus 10 interceptions. Like, he's never done that in the past. He's not going to do that here. until you support the guy, you know, and his best year was just, was it shy of 4,000 or right at 4,000 or right around there? And 27 TDs and 12 interceptions or 28 TDs, something like that. I mean, that's who he is. So, again, you know, if you think that, like, I think they found the, I think John has found the quarterback that he wants going forward, but there's still a lot of work to be done in the construction of this roster, and you see what they've done in free agency. Other than the right tackle, man, they have targeted the defensive backfield. That's what they've gone after.
Is this, has the no-fly zone been recreated?
Well, none of the cornerbacks that they picked up are as good as Aqib Talib. Okay? But I think both the cornerbacks they picked up are better than Bradley Roby. So have they reconstructed the no-fly zone?
All right, so let me lay it out.
No.
You've got Chris Harris, you've got Bryce Callahan, you got Kareem Jackson,
uh-huh.
You got Justin Simmons, you got Will Parks.
Right.
Okay, you got those five.
Uh-huh.
Versus Harris, Talib, Roby, Ward, Stewart.
Yeah.
I don't think this group is that far off.
Who's your dog? Like, one thing I think we know.
I think Kareem Jackson could be your dog.
Okay, one thing we've known that
that's Philip Lindsay.
They lack to a degree, I think, has been that kind of quote unquote dog back there ever since they let TJ Ward go. So that's an issue. The other issue that you have here is whether it's Kareem, whether it's, now Kareem gives you versatility, but Chris Harris Jr. and Bryce Callahan have essentially both been slot corners. Now, Bryce Callahan's a damn good football player. For those of you who don't know,
played for Fangio in Chicago.
He's played for Fangio and he's played for Ed Donatell. Those have been his coaches. He is a guy that I think was a free agent coming out of college, has done nothing but gone in and become a really good player. But I'm going to tell you, like, having studied and calling a Chicago game last year, Bryce Callahan just made plays all over the football field, but primarily a slot corner, part-time starter, but primarily a slot corner who's a damn good football player. Like, that's a good issue to have. You got a bunch of really damn good football players. Like, that, those are great issues to have.
Isn't
right?
that the thing that jumps out about this group is that there's versatility all over the board there?
Right.
That guys can play outside, guys can play slot, guys can play corner, guys can play safety, guys can play safety hybrid linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of versatility. So while you probably can't look at this secondary, like if you just line them up in traditional
right.
corner, slot, safety, free safety, probably not as good as the no-fly zone, but might this group be actually more flexible, more versatile than the other group?
Yeah, I think there's no question the versatility is great. You know, you'll make up on the athleticism scale on the back end at the safety position with both Parks and with Justin Simmons. Now, you know, I mean, athleticism, as we both know, athleticism is great. Doesn't make you a great football player. You know, you've got to combine athleticism with savvy. And I'll just tell you, the guys who are savvy, the guys who understand the game, the guys who can disguise well, that aren't antsy about disguise, because defensive players give everything away. Because they know what their responsibilities are. You know, when you get into a disguise situation, especially with young guys, Mike, young guys can't help but tip their hand.
How?
Because they know they've got to get, like, when you're disguised.
Give me an example of how they tip.
Okay, so when you're, let's say you're trying to show a too high shell. So both safeties are back there at let's call it 14 yards or 13 yards or 12 yards, whatever it is. And they're trying to show you, hey, this is cover two. The rotation dudes, if you got young safeties, one dude is body leaning and starting to move toward the middle of the football field because he's got deep third responsibilities. The other dude is creeping to get down to wherever he's lurking, like wherever he's running down, like whether he's, you know, strong side or whether he's weak side, regardless, he starts to lurk. Here's the other thing that ends up happening. Whichever way that guy's coming down, what happens to your linebacking core? They start sliding the opposite way, right? So sometimes the safeties may hold the disguise really well, but the linebackers start to the linebackers start to scoot. So if he's coming down strong, the linebackers all will move about a yard weak. They start to scoot a little. Like, as soon as they start getting out of position, you're like, oh, okay. Safety's coming down the opposite side. Right? And then if you've got... if you've got some type of force play, or you know who the new run defender is, you know where they're at. And as a quarterback, if I'm lined up and you're a defense that's pretty square, meaning, you know, your three linebackers are lined up where they're supposed to be, right? Your defensive line is got the proper shades. And then all of a sudden you get down to about 12, 14 seconds. The linebackers start to scoot. Uh-oh. They're scooting that way. That means that safety on that side of the field is coming down. I know we're in three or one. And then you look at the corners, and if the corners are square and they're pressed, oh, we're one. We're going to be one. If they're off with their butts to the sideline, oh, we're going to be three. Like, that's what the quarterbacks look at pre-snap.
But if you have a lot of flexibility and versatility in your secondary, can't that movement almost work to your advantage? Can't you start to plant seeds of doubt in a quarterback's mind? Now, wait a minute. If this corner's shading this way, or if this safety's coming up,
sure.
Wait a minute, I know from my scouting report that these guys can do different things. Now it plants some doubt into exactly what am I looking at.
If you have savvy veteran guys that can show you one thing and do something completely different, but it's hard for defensive players to do that because ultimately that makes you a tick late. And if you're a tick late, guess what happens? You usually get beat. That's why guys don't like disguise. That's why they act like they're going to disguise. But there comes a time, the clock, if you can let it roll down, where guys have to tip their hand. Because they're like, otherwise, if I don't tip my hand, I'm going to get beat. And I don't want to get beat.
Mark Schlereth dispensing football knowledge early on a Monday morning here at Sam's Number 3, Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club, 15th and Curtis. Come on by. Morning Brew is coming up next. Has free agency gone as well as the Broncos could have hoped? John Elway will answer that question next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
We're still working on it. So obviously it just opened a couple days ago, so we're still working on it and still trying to get some things done that we need to get done. But we'll get through free agency, try to fill some holes there and try to get some guys back that want to be back. We'll go from there and then also start working on the draft after that. But real excited about the way it's gone so far with Joe as well as Juwan and Kareem that it's been a real good start for us.
Yeah, let's include Joe Flacco, which was a trade, but let's include Joe Flacco in the opening wave of free agency. And if you look at what the Broncos have done, Flacco, Juwan James, Kareem Jackson, and Bryce Callahan, has free agency gone better than you could have hoped?
I think free agency went, yes. Just let me answer quickly with a yes. I think it has. I mean, you feel better about what the Broncos have done in free agency, or that the Miami Dolphins signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, who's Fitzmagic at one point and Fitztragic the next. That's kind of been his history, you know, the up and down nature of the way he plays. So, yeah, you went out and got yourself, I'm not going to call him an elite quarterback, but I'm going to call him a next tier quarterback. So you went out and got yourself that guy, somebody who fits the offense that you want to run, a guy that has, you know, I think he called himself an adult the other day. I'm an adult. Well, you and I have talked about that quite a bit, having an adult in the room and somebody that can help establish culture. So, yeah, and somebody who fits John Elway. John Elway, you know, apparently, one, is not great at picking college quarterbacks. Two, you know, as an organization, they haven't been great at developing them. So, you know, it takes you out of that. I think one of the big things for me, you got yourself great football players. Bryce Callahan's a great football player. Kareem Jackson's a great football player. And it takes you out of the process of having to take a quarterback at the number 10 spot. And I think that's good. It frees you up to take the best player available based on the position of need that you see, you know, that you have to fill the most.
Let me get to this next point. Next on the Morning Brew.
Especially with a new team, my first priority is going to come in here, build relationships, but at the same time, and, you know, more importantly, I'm going to show everybody in this organization, and more importantly, the players on my team, that I can play, quarterback, and that I can lead this team because of the talents and the skills that I have. And then once I'm able to kind of establish that the way I want to, you know, then things grow from there. But the way I see it, the most important thing is to get everybody to buy in and believe that you're the guy.
You know, I first started talking about this about a month ago, and it is now even more crystal clear what John Elway sees for this season. He is trying to recapture 2015 lightning in a bottle again. I mean, just look at it. Look at the way that this roster is being constructed, going real heavy on the secondary, bringing in a quarterback with the idea that he doesn't need to be special, but he just needs to be able to go out and give me good, serviceable quarterback play. Put that combination together. It worked in 2015. It's clear he's trying to do it again. Do you see sort of the blueprint being followed and, you know, some of those pieces being filled in so that it compares pretty favorably to 2015?
Yeah, I see that secondary, the nature of that secondary, what they were able to establish after they got beat by Seattle in the Super Bowl. That's the direction they went to, and they're trying to go back to that direction. Is it an admission at the same time that you should have kept Aqib Talib? You know, is it an admission that, hey, we kind of screwed that one up? And I know part of that was clearing it for Kirk Cousins, who said, yeah, you know what, thank you, but no thank you, thank you. Like, I'm going to go in a different direction. So, you know, part of that clearing of Aqib Talib was to get, you know, that quote-unquote franchise quarterback. So, anyhow. Just food for thought.
But it is pretty clear. There's no rebuild.
Yes.
It's all about right now. But it's one thing to say we're all about right now and then not really back it up with moves. It's clear the Broncos are all about winning right now, and mm-hmm. you can see the method to the madness. You know what
yes.
I mean? You can see how they're trying to put this thing together.
I think the other thing is you see how they're trying to put it together, and you see that they want to put it together per Vic Fangio's wants, desires, needs as a head coach. I want dudes that are football players. I want corners that not only can cover but can tackle and can play my system. Like, that to me is a big part of what Vic Fangio is doing, and shows you that he's got, you know, his finger in the drink stirring it as well.
Empowered coach. You always talk about the importance of that. Maybe a lesson that John Elway learned after what went on with Vance Joseph. Next on the Morning Brew.
Jamal drew so much attention on the initial pick and roll. When Paul caught it, he had a lane to the basket and a hell of a drive and finish. And I thought that was the key. You know, when Nikola got ejected, obviously I went to Paul time and time again. And that's what you want from your vet, the guy that's been there and done that. And that was a playoff type game. And Paul came through in a big way down the stretch.
Yeah, Paul Millsap coming through big as the Nuggets slipped past Indiana on over the weekend. Boy, I was talking about this with a big Nuggets fan on Friday about Nikola Jokic, and we were talking about how do you know when a guy has arrived, how he's gone to that next threshold and become a real superstar in the league. And the person I was talking to said, you'll know when he starts getting the whistle.
Right.
You know, the benefit of the whistle, the ticky-tack calls that were like, wow, that was a ticky-tack call.
Right.
But your guy gets it.
We'll take it.
Thank you
very
much. He goes to the free throw line. He's not yet getting those kind of calls. And maybe another example is getting tossed.
Yeah.
Late in the game, close game like that, just a couple minutes left. You tell me how many superstars barking the same way that he barked.
Right.
Would
LeBron have gotten tossed there?
Of course
would
not.
Westbrook have gotten tossed there?
Right,
would Steph Curry have gotten tossed there? Would KD have gotten tossed there? And my answer to you on all those is no. Not one of those guys. Because as a ref, if you toss one of those guys, you know what ends up happening? You get a call from the commissioner going, what the hell are you doing? Like, those guys drive our league. You understand that. Jokic doesn't, that rep didn't get a call from the commissioner because Jokic didn't drive this league. And you're 100% right. Not yet. I tell you what, though, he's
getting there.
You could feel his confidence, right? You could feel his understanding of how good he is. You can feel him growing in that role.
By the way, shapes up a juicy game tonight. They're in Boston to play the Celtics. Remember the last time they played, Jamal Murray went off for 48 and was trying to go for 50 even after the Celtics had backed off
right.
and said, no mas. And Kyrie Irving was all butthurt after the game and fired the ball up into the stands. It got fined $35,000 or something like that. So, well,
I tell you what,
the rematch
Murray,
is tonight. It'd be interesting Murray to see what
better,
happens.
Murray better not stand on the edge of the earth, the flat earth, because Kyrie will push him off.
Push him right off into the abyss.
Yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Thanks so out there. Xavier Simpson doesn't want to get picked. He breaks in the basket. Bank shot up. Gets in! Gets in! With 29 seconds to go, Michigan State is taking the lead.
Spartans Radio, here we go. Brackets are out. You can go to 1043thefan.com to get involved in our March Madness Bracket Challenge. Just easy to do. It's completely free. Just pick the entire tournament. We got a bunch of great prizes that you can win, but go to 1043thefan.com to get that done. Have you filled out your brackets yet? Subject to change, but have you gone through at least maybe the first time? And what did it reveal?
No.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay.
And I probably will have Scott pick my bracket. Really?
Oh, you hot snot, you! So I went through mine, and
did you not?
Now I will change mine at least five or six times between now and
why?
Then. Just because I'll start to hear different analysis. Geez. I'll start to look at things. I'll start to overthink things, which I shouldn't do.
That's what I'm saying. Just pick it and live
with
it.
See, I should follow your advice. Here's why I never win these bracket challenges. I know too much.
You're too smart?
I'm too smart.
Really?
And so what ends up happening is I apply logic to something that ends up being illogical.
Yes. That's a bad... It's like TV. It's like working in television. Don't ever use logic for an illogical situation. This is illogical. It makes no sense.
So I went through at 1043thefan.com for the March Madness Bracket Challenge, and I had all four number ones in the final four. And I had all number 12 seeds beating five seeds.
Right.
Too smart.
Right. This year, I think it's going to be 13 seeds over four seeds.
Hey, last year we had a 16 knockoff of one for the first time.
So
it could happen. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up, reaction from you as to what you heard. Are you encouraged? Are you feeling better about the Broncos 2019 chances after what you heard on Friday? That's next. Sam's number three, 15th and Curtis. Already got some folks out here. We got taking a few pictures, kissing a few babies, signing some autographs. Haven't signed a napkin yet. A little sad. That's all right. It's all right. Morning is still young.
Yes.
Reaction to what the Broncos have done thus far. Gary and Mead says, I am liking everything the Broncos have done so far now that they signed Callahan, except waste $9 million on Heuerman. What's up with that horrible signing? Is it so horrible?
Well, I mean, I think, like, I don't think it's a horrible sign. I think Jeff is a good player. The problem is, you know, you signed a 2-year, what, $9 million deal? You know, and you have to, based on what he's done up to this point, that feels like 18 games, you know? I mean, that's kind of his injury history scares you a little bit with that signing. But he's shown progress. He's shown to be a good football player. The problem is there's, you know, in the marketplace right now, what tight ends are you going to go out there and get in the marketplace? Like, if you've got a great matchup kind of quote-unquote tight end, those guys, I just don't know that those guys really get out. You know what I mean? I just don't know that you're going to find a guy. And plus, you've lost, didn't Lacoste go to New England? And so you got to the point now where you kind of got pushed in a position where you had to have somebody on your roster that at least, you know, you feel like you can count on, that knows that system, that gives you some versatility within that system. So I still think they're going to probably go in that direction come draft time. But, yeah, I mean, you signed a guy that I think has progressed and looked like he was about ready to kind of break through, and then he got injured again.
Yeah, you have to hope that Because if you look at his career in its totality so far, it's been a disappointment. For where he was drafted, coming out of Ohio State, a lot of expectations, he hasn't lived up to it. But if you choose to look at the end before he got hurt, and you look at that game against Houston where he had 10 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown, followed it up with 4 catches against the Chargers, 2 catches for 44 yards against Pittsburgh, showing an ability to get down the field a little bit. The thing about the Heisman sign is, look, in today's NFL, and specifically you can speak to this better than anybody having played in the Shanahan-Kubiak offense that they're running here, is that you got to have multiple tight ends.
Yeah.
And so the notion that, okay, they've made a commitment to Heisman that tells you that that's their guy, I fully expect them to continue to explore the possibility of drafting another tight end. They got Fumagalli coming back that they still hold out hope on. Jake Butt.
Yeah.
Still tall.
Yes.
That they
Jake Butt
are
tall.
Looking to bring him back. Hopefully you cross your fingers and you hope that after 3 ACLs that there's still something there. But I think I would just choose to look at this signing as they have a huge need at tight end. They need multiple tight ends.
Right.
Okay, they paid what they paid for Heisman, but considering what's out there, I think you bring back a guy that at least you know you developed and showed some upside before he got hurt.
And played, you know, and played in a system that is very similar. Like Billy Musgrave used a lot of the West Coast, a lot of what, you know, that system is a lot of what Scangarello does.
Yeah, so let me just stop you right there. Musgrave's offense was nice. Scangarello is cutting edge.
Oh, that's
okay?
Right.
You forgot.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot.
It's modernized.
Yes.
It's creative.
So the
it's evolved.
Yes. The old school part of that offense, he's got the old school terms. They're down. Now some of the new stuff, but he's got the base. Like, you got to lay the foundation before you put up the walls, Mike.
Right.
Right? So he's got the foundational basis of this offense. You know, now we put in the extensive stuff. Maybe not even the walls. Maybe he's got the foundation and the walls. Maybe it's the trim, you know? It's the little detailed stuff, right? That's what this offense is going to be. So, yeah, you're going to use multiple offenses or multiple tight ends. I mean, make no bones about it. This is an offense that's going to use 2 tight ends a bunch. They're going to bump in and out of different personnel groupings where they use 1 tight end, a fullback, a running back, you know, 2 running backs and 1 tight end, 2 and 3 tight ends sometimes. So this is a multiple personnel package group. And they're going to need more than, you know, Heisman. They're going to need Butt to be healthy. They're going to need a guy like Fumagalli. So, yeah, they're going to need all those tight ends. So I get the 4.5 a year to sign a guy who's oft injured, but he did show some upside last year when he was healthy.
All right, another one here on the Ramosod.com text line. I don't buy into what the Broncos are doing. It's all garbage with recycled players and coaches. In the end, you will see. All right, what kind of grade would you give them for free agency? And I'll include the Flacco trade in there.
Well, I mean, I would give them, you never know until you actually start playing and seeing what guys can accomplish. But, like, I think both corners that they signed are really good football players, right? I think the tackle that they signed has potential to be really good. Now, I know there's a lot of reports out there about Juwan James, you know, a lot of the negative reports. And, you know, in this market, especially with offensive linemen, you have to overpay guys for marginal talent. This guy's got exceptional talent, but, you know, he's been kind of an average player. I will tell you this, and this is just interesting, like from a perspective of somebody who's been at, I think, 3 Dolphin practices over the last 2 years, Friday practices. The worst culture in football. The worst culture in the National Football League exists with the Miami Dolphins. I watched one Friday practice was the worst Friday practice I had ever seen in 12 years of playing and 2 years of calling games. The most unorganized, the worst Friday practice I've ever seen. And I pulled Adam Gase, who was the head coach, aside. He's a friend of mine. And I said, I said, that's the worst practice I've ever seen. And I'm telling you, like, it was that bad.
And he didn't really argue with you.
No, he goes, I know. He goes, I understand. And so from a cultural standpoint, you try to bring in a culture, you're going to change as a coach. And sometimes the culture is so strong and nobody is there from a management standpoint, from an ownership standpoint, to back you up. This is why your head coach needs to be empowered. And if they're not going to empower you, you're not going to change that culture.
I like what they did. Free agency, look, free agency comes with its limitations. You have to understand right. that if a guy is a free agent, there's a reason why he's a free agent. There's a reason why the team that knows him best chose to move on from him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at least these guys that they signed, they come with track records. And they also, you know, they fill obvious needs.
Right.
But it also allows the Broncos to still go out and continue to fill other needs through the draft now. And, look, I'm not going to come out and tell you that this is a team that's going to win 10 or 11 games based on what I've seen them do thus far. But I think they've put themselves in a position where they can be a winning football team. Now, Is that 9-7? Is that 10-6? Is that 11-5? I don't see six and ten.
Right.
Okay. I think that they've upgraded their talent to a point where I don't feel like a 6-10 football team.
Yes. I would agree.
But
I don't see a 10-6 football.
Right.
Team
I just
either.
Don't. I just don't see how free agency, unless it's the Peyton Manning leading to a DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward, Akeem right. Talib type windfall. I mean, that is so unusual. That is so far out on the other end of the spectrum. But for what free agency can mean for a football team, I think the Broncos did well enough that they've improved this team by at least a couple of wins.
Yeah, and then which gets them to 8-8.
8-8, 9-7. Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't have any problem. I don't even have any problem with that. I still look at the division now. You know, Kansas City.
Can you hold that thought?
Yes.
Why don't you clear your thought? Why don't you clear the air overall and where you think this team is at right now?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Heading into the draft. All right, Mark clears the air next.